When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento. Sacramento, Sacramento, Sacramento,
Sacramento. Turner Sparks just got married and has moved home to America after 12 years living in China. Sir Michael Ira Kaplan has two kids, a wife, a job, and has spent his entire life in the USA. Neither one can figure their country out. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 181. Oh, my gosh, 181. My name's Turner Sparks. With me is Sir Michael Ira Kaplan. You can find me at Turner Sparks on Instagram. You can find Kaplan at Cap'n America on Instagram. You can find this show at Lost in America Pod on Instagram. That's all. Kaplan, how you doing?
I'm doing good. You should introduce me as Sir Michael Ira Kaplan, the former starting point guard for the JCC Running Rabbis, since we're going to be talking hoops on this episode.
Running Rabbis.
Any new listeners to know that I was quite a basketball player in my day.
Well, we should say on the podcast today, yes, this is basketball themed. We have the great Dan Artest. You might know him as the brother of Ron Artest. I know him as former Sacramento Kings Summer League basketball player, the summer of 2007-2008 season, maybe 2007 Summer League. Dan Artest was playing for the Sacramento Kings out there in Las Vegas for Coach Reggie Theus at the time. And we're going to talk to him about street ball in New York City. He grew up in Queensbridge Projects, maybe a little hip hop, maybe a little Corona talk in general.
But
that's that. But Cap, let's get on to our Patreon people. We had one new subscriber this week. I feel a big week coming on this upcoming week. So last week it was a little quiet. We had Marcia Edgar, which she's only one person, but very excited because she's one of the only people we don't know personally.
Hey, is it Marcia Edgar or Marcia? We don't know.
Oh, probably Marcia. M-A-R-C-I-A.
Yeah. I think that's Marcia, yeah.
That's but how you would say Marcia.
Maybe to us, she's Marcia. But thank you for joining, Marcia.
Thank you, Marcia, Marcia.
You made a smart move. If you find the right week when there's nobody else, we're just going to focus on shouting out you if you're the only one who joins. So.
Yeah, so this upcoming week, now that we had a down week, this is probably the best week to join because you're going to get – I wish we could get Marcia's backstory so we could give her the proper intro, you know.
Yeah, well,
but anyway, Marcia, if you're listening, write us in. You know the email address. No one else does. And if you guys want to join our Patreon show, we do every Tuesday through Friday 4 extra episodes a week. It's just Kaplan and I, about a half an hour each, wrapping up what happened during that day, whether it's Corona news, whether it's Fauci, Cuomo, or me or Kaplan, you'd find out that I'll tell you what happened. We got a hot tub last week over at Tyler Sparks' house. It's big news. That's all I'm going to tell you, though, if you want to hear the rest of the story.
There were some good stories in that hot tub.
What the ups the hot and tub, the downs. There's an extra, the conclusion to the story.
It's in the Patreon show. Yeah, and the conclusion's going to be in the Patreon show tomorrow.
It's going to be there tomorrow, but Kaplan, we got to get to you, because you have, what's going on?
I'm very stressed out over here, because, you know, things are starting to slowly shift. You know, you can feel it in the air. People, even in New York City, are trying to get back to some sort of normal. You know, people coming out of
their
houses.
Well, a couple things are happening. One thing is that the weather's changing. It's getting nicer. So people are itching to get outside. But the other thing that's happening is the reported cases are down about 80% of what they were at a month ago.
Yes.
The problem is that they're still number one in America because a month ago there was 10,000 a day and now there's 1,000, there's 1,800 a day or something.
We built a big lead.
We built a big lead. So, but anyway,
I'm
going to
get
said,
a little bit, you bring it up that when you say it that way, I'm going to be a little bit like, you get the wrong reaction. I know it's the wrong reaction, but when we're not number one, if we lose that title, it'll be a little disappointing.
Well, this is all reported cases, which we know we can't trust the real numbers. So who knows?
Well, also because we have the best testing. So that's so it's a point of pride that we have the most cases. But anyway, people are starting to go outside. The weather's nice. Some people are returning to work in ways they can. And I'm starting to see, because for a while going outside, even when the weather was nice, I would only see like this, the same people outside every day. I'd see like the same, there's certain kids who just like, they just don't, parents don't care, whatever. There's like this group. There's these soccer, I talked about them on the Patreon show, but there's these soccer kids, there's like a soccer academy. They're outside every day. They're literally outside 9 to 5. And there's a couple other kids who play and there's a few other things and that's it. But now I'm starting to see other kids. And I don't know if they were away for a while like you, their families, and they've come back to New York. I don't know if they finally come out, the frost is over. It's like when college, when I went to Syracuse up north, where you don't see anybody all winter, and then it gets springtime, and all of a sudden you see these people, and you're like, oh, you still go here? I didn't even know you were. So I don't know if that kind of feeling, I don't know, but you're starting to see, and I recognize kids because, you know, we've been in the same neighborhood all these years. So I recognize kids, and I'm seeing, and some of them seem like they're friendly, like they're almost like a play date of sorts, where it's like, or like, they, I don't know if they planned it, but you have two kids who are playing outside together.
Who are not related to each other.
Who are not related, exactly. And now my children have not really seen anybody other than on Zoom, FaceTime, you know, these things. And if we run into somebody in the neighborhood, they like keep a distance and have an awkward chat. They don't really, there's been no play dates, no playing at all with any of their friends. And I'm wondering, like, at some point, and it's good because they're siblings, so it's like it makes it a little, you know, easier. I mean, if you have one child, you probably are going nuts about this. But so I started to wonder, like, how do we – at one point we got to introduce them back into the fray. Like, they're not going to not see their friends because they're going to have school again, hopefully.
Well, have you been asked – have other parents approached you about this, been like, hey, what do you guys think? Or is that too risky of a proposition?
That's what I'm getting at, is that nobody has, and I am just starting to – like, I've had this idea in my head for a few weeks, and now I'm just saying it out loud. Like, I'm not even – like, I don't know when is okay to even broach the subject, because I feel like the people who are still here, the reason why we haven't seen them is because they've been just quarantined in the hell out of this thing. Everyone's very proud of their quarantine.
It's, so, yeah.
I don't want to be
– it's that issue. It's the same issue, you know, back in our single days when you're dating and your girls, you know, you go see a movie and then you're on the way home and you kind of go, well, I don't know, should we –
yes.
Should we go? You want to go upstairs for coffee?
Exactly.
It's that. It's a fine line, because if you offer it up too early, that could be game over. The people could hate you.
They look down on you because I'm not going. It's like when you hit on a friend or something, or like a coworker almost, because like we're not moving. We're staying in this neighborhood for years. So if we do a social taboo, I can't go anywhere.
You're out.
When I'm always out.
You're out of the neighborhood.
And so, like, to continue your analogy further, it's like I would even think to propose, like, I would start, you know, like a lunch date. You go out, you're going to meet outside in the park.
Sure.
And you're going to, like, you're going to have an activity plan, like, ahead of time that's not, like, we'll both bring bikes.
Well, and this is what you do, Kaplan. This is what you say. You say, what would you think about Teddy and Ruby meeting up with little Johnny and Timmy? And then you say this. This is key. You have to go. Social distancing, obviously,
all that, and then it becomes so. Like that episode of our Patreon show where Heaton guest hosted.
Yes,
Andrew Heaton brought up this idea that early on I should have found friends and just like we basically do like a blood oath or something. We're like we're not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere. We'll let our kids play with each other. He did a whole in his smart way of speaking about how mathematically it's barely different than doing nothing. You know, like.
I know that families do. I've heard of families doing this. So
yeah.
I know down here in Virginia, there's families that are making packs, like only our two families. But then the thing is, half of these families are also making packs with other families.
Right. You have to be.
It's the middle school thing where like, hey, don't tell anybody I told you, but blah, blah, blah. And then that person goes to someone else. Don't tell anybody I told you.
Right.
Also, and every whole school
movie
knows,
we've watched. It always falls apart every movie. And then you're like, you want, it's almost like good if like, you're basically saying like, oh, my kid, you got to pick the right person. Cause you're basically saying like, you're my number one friend that I want my kid to play with. And then you're putting yourself out there. Cause they might've already made a deal with some other family. And then you look like an asshole.
It's straight back. It all leads back to middle school. It's like, you're my best friend, but you're my best friend.
Yeah. And then the other thing is you're also, it's like, if the person gives you a reaction, they almost don't trust you. Because you're like the kids are, we could control, but it's really the parents you're judging. So if they're saying, well, I don't want to hang out with you, they're basically saying like, I don't trust you, Kaplan, to be responsible when you're out and about.
Here's the solution. Yeah, yeah. Can I give you the solution?
Yeah. What do we got?
Kaplan, you have to think like a single guy on a date. So this works exactly the same. What do? When you're a single guy on a date, you go, hey, do you want to come up and watch a movie? You don't say, do you want to come up and have sex with me? You don't say that.
Right. Yes.
No one says that.
And then this clip can't be played at all to any of these people. They're already disqualified. Go on.
You say, do you want to watch a movie, right? Do you want to watch a movie? So, same thing when your kids You say, hey, do you want little Ruby and Teddy to play with little Johnny and Kimmy? And then you say, social distancing, obviously. And then once you get out into the park, well, if one thing leads to another and these kids start running around jumping on a jungle gym, then that's just the way it goes and you let it happen naturally.
Right. And there are no jungle gyms and there's no – yeah, it does become a thing where, like, you don't want – like, you have toys and it's like – it is hard with kids to manage. Like, it's just – we're saving ourselves stress because it would be very hard to be like, never touch that kid's ball. You know, like, it's hard to – there's going to be things are going to break, but people I think are going to have to understand that at some point they're going to have to let go a little bit without becoming like a crazy denier, because like they're just not going to go on until there's a vaccine with no kids communicating, you know, like with no, not, you know, so it's,
but I think you do have to pick a family.
Pick one.
So you guys need to do a draft. Should we, like a fantasy draft where you and Ruby and Teddy and Randy sit around, you make a top 10 list. And then you guys decide who's your number one. And then maybe they already have a number one. Maybe they say no to you. And then you go to your number two. It's like applying for college. You need a safety family, a safety school family. You need a dream. You need a reach, a realistic, and a safety.
And but if people who know us know that we've blown our golden time to do it when we were both unemployed. And Randy never left the house. She was really good. And I would be the problem, you'd say, because I'm the weak link. I would leave the house more and do more errands and stuff. But now Randy's back to her job, and people might know this. People can't find out that she's going places, because then once they find that out, we're going to be blacklisted.
Oh, yeah, you're out. If Randy's leaving the house going to work, yeah, you're definitely out.
Yeah, I mean, not going to her office, but she's going to other – yeah, she's the weak link now, so she might get us – the kids will have no friends thanks to you, Randy, and your job.
I think you just got iced. Yeah. I think that's the end of it. And speaking I think we should wrap this up. We got Daniel Artest on the phone. He's in
Zoom.
He's in South Carolina right now. I think, what do we say? Let's patch him in.
Patch him in.
All right, we're back with our guest, Daniel Artest. Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for doing it. Yeah, I saw you. I saw Sam Amick was on. Sam, I'm pronouncing that correctly, right? I've only been reading his articles for 20 years.
Yeah.
I think I would figure out. He was on your podcast a couple days ago, and I saw that, and I was like, Dan, dude, I loved you. Sacramento Kings. I've been a giant Kings fan my whole life. And the whole summer league, you played, was that 2008?
2007. Yes.
You played two games, or how many games did you?
Well, it's only a five-game season or something, right?
Yeah. I played about three games.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah.
How was that?
I mean, it was a fun experience. The only thing I didn't like about it was everybody thought it was nepotism, but they didn't see the 6 a.m. workouts that I was putting forth with the assistant coaches. I didn't even know I was going to be on the team, because if anybody remembers, I got there a day late. You know, I was late there. I was a late addition to the team, and I was in Indiana actually when I got the call to go to Vegas for the NBA Summer League. So, you know, it was a good experience, but I also felt, you know, some flack from, you know, different agents. From the coach, Veggie Theus, basically the entire coaching staff, you know.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah, basically.
Well, dude, the fans were on your side. I remember we were going nuts. Like, I'm a big Sacktown Royalty reader, and they were, like, giving updates every day. Everybody was pumped up. I was watching. I mean, I don't even know if you could you watch the games? Like, now, like, Summer League's giant, you know?
Now it's huge, yeah.
But at that time, I can't remember if the games were on TV or not, but.
No, they wasn't on TV.
They were doing updates and everything.
Yeah.
It was fun. So you're in South Carolina now, is that correct?
Yes, I'm in Charleston, South Carolina. Nice and warm down here. You know, safe, you know, away from everything. I'm in the middle of nowhere, and I like it like that.
That's good. Do you live there normally, or you just because I'm in Virginia, but I live in Brooklyn. But I, you know, got out a couple months ago when this was all coming down.
Now, I just moved down here from New York on July 1st of last year.
Ah, okay. Yeah. And where were you in New York?
I was in the Queens.
You were in Queens. Kaplan Lake, Queens.
Yeah, I live in Long Island City.
That's where I'm from.
Yeah, you're like Queensbridge, right?
Yep. Born
nice. And raised. So what part of
the city are you from?
What's that?
What street in Long Island City are you from?
Well, I'm from Pennsylvania, but I live like by the water. I'm one of those people like down by right by the like one of the like the furthest building closest to the ferry, basically. To, like,
okay, so you have on Vernon Boulevard somewhere, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so all right. I know what building you're
so,
in.
Yeah, we used to have some good basketball courts here, but now all the hoops are gone. So they're
yeah, you're talking about 48th Avenue. I know.
Yeah, 48th Avenue, exactly.
So. I actually had a 66-point game there, actually, in that same park right there.
60. Yeah. They keep you kept. What was the game up to?
Yeah. What do you?
Oh no, it was an actual league game.
Oh,
it was a league game. Yeah.
Yeah, they like, do have them sometimes, right? With their...
Yeah, the courts is like one behind the other. There's like three of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
66. What was the? This is like a refereed game. You guys are playing to four quarters.
It was a refereed game. I was in high school at the time. You know, so I was a little bit smaller, a little bit more explosive, and everything. So. I was pretty good back in those days.
It's like a summer league game or
yeah, it was a little regular summer league basketball tournament game. 18 and under ages.
So what's going on now? Like what's gonna happen? First of all, has street ball been going on in New York City the past few months? I know you haven't been there, but you
there's no hoops.
No.
Nah, they pretty much shut everything down. So basically I think the only tournaments or leagues that's gonna be running are in the gyms.
And how are they going to do that?
Well, they're opening up the gyms mid-June.
Oh, they are?
So, yeah, they're just probably just going to have, like, you know, the essential staff, players, essential staff, or whatever, referees, pretty much, probably no fans.
So when you say the gym, you mean basketball. You don't mean, like, Equinox and these type of gyms.
Yeah, they're opening up all the gyms. Like, today in South Carolina, all the gyms is open. So if I wanted to go work out, I can go work out.
Oh, really?
I got to get down to South Carolina.
Kaplan and Jones in the rims, workout.
The rims are up here.
The rims are up. I mean, I'm falling apart here. I need. I was gonna do basketball drills without the rims and just like do real fundamental stuff, but that's not fun. So
have you been playing or what's going on?
Oh no, I don't play no more, man. I am a family man, a father of four.
You can't play basketball and be a family man.
I know. What does that mean?
You know, I just, to be honest, like I fell out of love with the game of basketball, man, you know, and going through a lot of, you know, struggles in my life, you know what I mean? So I just decided to just, you know, step away and get myself back in order before I even think about playing some basketball. I plan on playing again, though, but nothing crazy, just, you know, recreationals.
Yeah. So what did you were doing the King? I mean, obviously you played King Summer League, but you also played professionally for a while. Was it Indiana where you were playing?
After the Kings, I played in Atlanta. I played in Gallup, New Mexico. I played in Rockford, Illinois. Then after Rockford, Illinois, I played in Indiana, and I played in New York.
And what league? Yeah. That was all the same league, or there's multiple leagues?
Oh, there was multiple leagues. It was one was the ABA, and the other one was the PBL.
And what's the level of competition versus New York City games in those leagues?
Now the leagues are tough. You know, there's a lot of good players. There's a lot of players. You know, people that's trying to get back overseas. Some people that's you know trying to get over there for the first time. So it's really hungry. It's a lot of hungry people. I liken it to playing junior college basketball. Players is just trying to play to get, you know, to Division I or to get to a four-year school, regardless of whatever level. So, yeah, it's definitely hungry. Nobody wants to be there, you know?
Yeah. Everybody's trying to work their way out, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
What about so you've obviously been gone. By the way, good timing, I guess, on the move, huh, to get out of New York City.
Yeah. Yeah, New York is – nobody's listening out there, and it's a shame. You know, people are, you know, losing their lives and stuff. I have some friends that lost their lives. I lost an aunt to it, you know. And so, yeah, I'm glad I got out because I can literally go outside. I'm in the middle of nowhere. So,
really?
You know, yeah, I got my son running around in the grass or whatever. And, like, nobody's really, you know, close to me.
So you're outside of Charleston then? You're not in the middle.
No, I'm inside of Charleston. I'm in a city called West Ashley, which is still in Charleston.
Got it. And what about, because, you know, when you read on the news, a part of what I wanted to talk to you about is having, if you're, obviously you're still connected with people in New York City and in Queens and seeing a different perspective than what, I mean, the news is just telling you, like, this is the overall numbers, but the personal stuff, I'm in Virginia, but Cap's in Long Island City, but like in Queensbridge, for example, how's it all going there? I don't know how much you keep up, but.
Well, Queensbridge is, I mean, I wish they stay in the house more. A lot of them still be outside or whatever. I think a lot of them think that this thing is not serious. You know, I think that people in Queensbridge, you know, they, like me, for instance, I won't allow nobody in my house, no matter we're family or not, during this time. And I think that people think that just because we're family, like, they can just go over to other people's houses and stuff, but you don't know what you're bringing with you. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I think Queensbridge could do a little better as following, you know, the stay-at-home orders, and as well as, you know, New York, L.A., Florida, of course. You know, pretty much the whole United States.
Yeah, it's. Yeah. I mean, Cap, were you? I mean, I was. Were you the one sending pictures last night? Of, I guess bars are opening in New York City, but you can't go.
Well,
inside.
No, they're not. They're not opening. People are. There's some people who are. You can get takeaway, but some people are starting to congregate outside the bars. And people. It was a beautiful weekend. People are congregating in the grass, and I think they do what you're saying. A lot of people are like family members, and they go, "Oh, it's fine." It's like 8-10 family members, but you don't all live together, so you're defeating the purpose to be. Getting together real close. And there was a midnight soccer game going on for the first time. It happens in the summer all the time here, but they were playing at midnight. There was like 20 guys out there, and then the police showed up and dispersed it. But so people are, yeah, they're getting lax here.
And Kaplan, so, are people getting, cause you were saying like a couple weeks ago, the cops were really on top of all this stuff, right? Like really out enforcing. Is that gone away or what's going
on? No, that's still gone. Like this school, there's a school next to me that's basically turned into like a new precinct, and there's all these cops in there, and they walk around and they pass out masks, and they kind of try to, they are around during the day. But because this area, this park here, I don't know if you've been, is like, it's just a populous area, but I don't know what it's like in the rest of the city, because I've been trying not to leave the neighborhood much. I drove through Queensbridge like once, but that was really early in the process. It was pretty, people were inside then, but that was like the first week or so. So, but for the most part, I haven't left the neighborhood, so it's hard to trying. But,
and do you have family still in the area?
My dad lives on Roosevelt Island, if you're familiar with Roosevelt Island.
Yeah,
this is a little island between Manhattan and Queens, so my dad lives over there. I got some nieces in Queensbridge and some nephews and stuff in Queensbridge as well, but that's just about it.
Yeah. And is
because Queensbridge is a pretty pop. I mean, it's like, there's how many like apartment buildings are there? I mean, there's like, it's like a pretty big area. Like, it's like pretty. Like to explain to people, it's like a, it's not like one apartment. I mean, it's like a whole several blocks.
Yeah, it's 6 blocks and 96 buildings.
Yeah, yeah.
And what was it like playing basketball in that neighborhood growing up?
It was tough. It was fun. It made me into the player I was. You know, in Queensbridge growing up back in the day, there was this tournament called Block to Block. So it was only the 6 blocks of Queensbridge residents only could play in it. You know, they had ages from, I want to say 6 and under all the way up to 18 and under. Hmm. So all that talent in Queensbridge back in the day, you know, everybody played for their respective block for bragging rights or whatever. You know, it was fun. It was tough. It wasn't no easy days.
And how'd you guys do?
Oh, we did pretty good. Like, I always made it to the championship, but I lost in the championship like 2 times, and then I won one.
You won one? So who else besides you and your brother would we know who was playing basketball in the area?
Vern Fleming.
Okay, I know the name. I can't trust
you. Vern Fleming from Queensbridge. Sean Green from Queensbridge as well. If y'all familiar with boxing, Louis DeVal.
Okay. Yeah.
the first one to knock down Roy Jones.
Was Lamar Odom? Or what?
No. He's from Jamaica, Queens, though.
He's from Jamaica. But you guys knew him a long time or growing up or something like that?
Yeah. I've known Lamar since I was like 9. So we go back pretty far.
Okay.
That's Well, I met Lamar once. One of the best. My wife is 4'11". One of the best photos ever taken was her and Lamar Odom. So,
so are you watching The Last Dance?
Yeah, I've been watching it. I've been going, doing live shows, post shows of The Last Dance. So that's why Sam Amick was on it, because I asked him to come on. He came on. That's what we was talking about, pretty much the episode and stuff. I enjoyed it. It was cool.
When did Ron get to the Bulls? Was it? Go ahead.
1999.
The next year.
Would that be the next year?
Yeah.
Nah,
Or no.
It was 99-2000 season, so it was 1 year. So basically, Jordan left for 98, then they played the 98-99 season, then Ron came in for the 1999-2000 season.
All right, and what's was like Jerry Krause still around at that time? I guess so.
Yeah, he drafted him.
Oh, he drafted him?
Yes.
He was the architect of the new.
He wanted Frederick Weiss, but the Knicks took him. So
this whole thing really like just destroys Krause throughout all 10.
Yeah.
It feels a little unfair since he's not alive. But yeah.
Yeah, they let him have it. That was I don't know. I guess that was his doing. That was him. You know, just.
What do you think of the guy?
When I met him, he was nice. I didn't have an issue with him and stuff. You know, that's just his job. That's how he wanted to do his job. So, you know, he did it to the best of his abilities. Was it right? No. But you know, I guess it had to be done.
It's just something that would never happen now. You couldn't, like, there's no GM that has more power than the best player. Not only the best player in the NBA, but the history of the NBA, but the best player on a team, I would say.
Yeah, and also a lot of players aren't willing to stick it out and stay with a team for a long time and try to build things like that. Even general managers, like I think what the shelf life of an NBA team staying together now is about, 4 or 5 years?
Yeah.
You know, before they break it up, you know? It's not like that. Like think about it, the Lakers, when Magic came in, they rode it to the wheels fall off, you know what I'm saying, until Magic retired or whatever.
Right.
You know, thing with the Celtics and stuff. Even the Bulls did it, you know?
Well, that's what, and they didn't have the chance back then. Like Michael Jordan couldn't just go as a free agent to any team like they would have now, where like LeBron can, you know, he didn't really have many options. So, yeah,
The way how Jerry Krause was acting, I thought if that was today, Jordan would be on a different team.
Yeah,
as opposed easily. To retiring, you mean?
Yeah, I'm just saying. No, remember they've been pulling this stuff since forever. Jordan was on those Bulls teams, you know. Even the situation with the broke foot, you know, and how they was treating him and stuff, and you know, not giving him input on certain personnel decisions and stuff. Like Jordan probably would have gone. He would have been gone.
Yeah,
he had the mindset of like how LeBron James have being empowered as a player. You know, I think that he would have been out of there.
But Krause, you got to give him some credit. He drafted the Pippen move they made. The whole so
well getting like Pippen that, to sign yeah. for what did they say Pippen got
well,
paid like
well first he traded for Pippen is what I meant, but yeah, then he signed him to like a terrible contract. I mean for Scotty, yeah, for 7 years.
Yeah, Jerry, listen, for Jerry, he's, let's just say this, Jerry Krause, he didn't fail.
He won six championships.
Yeah, it's not like it's not like, you can't say he failed at anything. He just did things his way. So like whatever, you know, flaws he had, you know, hey, if it wasn't for him, I probably won't get those championships, because he had a good eye for something. He seemed good.
Yeah. And he somehow knew Phil Jackson was like a genius, whereas like he was in the CBA, like, you know. So.
And then, so Ron was on that team with, that was the Eddie Curry, Tyson Chandler kind of draft. Was that the same? Was he drafted in that same year?
No, he came with Elton Brand.
Oh, he came with Elton Brand. Yeah, okay. Got it. And then they were the next year. And then at one point, Brad Miller was on that team. That was actually, they were putting together a team.
Except Eddie Curry wasn't any good.
Yeah, they had Brad Miller. The Bulls, they was starting to have a nice core and stuff, because they had Tyson Chandler and Eddie Curry at the same time. So, you know, they probably could have worked something out, you know, if they would have stayed longer. But, you know, I guess Ron wasn't, you know, I guess wasn't acting right on the team and stuff, so they had to make a move or whatever. But it ended up working out for him, so.
Yeah. Who was the best who's the best player you've seen, not in a NBA arena, but like live around New York City?
Oh, That's a good question. I would say Corey Williams.
Corey Williams. He goes Williams.
By the full name of Homicide.
All right. Tell us about him.
Well, right now he's in Australia. He does color commentary for the Australian Basketball League. If you ever watch like LaMelo Ball play or something like that, there's one black guy there. That's him.
Yeah. It's a random gig.
Yeah, right. But he played in Australia too as well. He's a legend. He's a legend out there. So, and he's really controversial. He's funny. He knows how to work the TV, you know what I'm saying, in his favor. So, but on the street ball circuit, Homicide, that's all I should have to say why they call him Homicide. Just kills people. What he does. Simple as that. Really, really good. Really good player. Took no mess from nobody. Went at NBA players. Went at, you know, other street ball counterparts and stuff. And then got discovered from it. You know, had tryouts with a couple of NBA teams, say the Raptors, the Pacers, and stuff. Name two. And he almost made the Raptors. And I thought that he was going to make it because I remember he played Garden against the Knicks during preseason. He scored like 10 points in the fourth quarter, you know, led them to win. But then he was like the exact last cut, you know, and he just ended up playing overseas for years. And, you know, he made a great career out of it. But the street ball really, you know, got him, you know, his name and stuff like that. You know, he Homicide.
Wow, dude. And what about like, who's the best rapper from the area? Obviously Nas is local, but.
Who's
your favorite?
My favorite, well, from Queensbridge, my favorite is Prodigy from Mobb Deep.
Okay.
Favorite, another favorite of mine is this other rapper that was part of Mobb Deep called the Infamous Mob. His name was Big Twins. Big Twins is one of my favorite rappers as well. They just do the music that I relate to. Stuff that I've seen, you know what I mean? Stuff that I've seen them do, whatever they talk about, they raps and stuff, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's just something I can vibe with, you know what I'm saying? And of course, you know, Capone from Capone and Noriega, you know, another Queensbridge guy. We got Nature, you know, Cormega, you know, Tragedy, Poet, you know, Crime Fam, your Bars and Hooks, and ooh, it's a lot, man. You know, local other rappers, Agflow, Genuine Quality, we got 16s, we got Ty Brown, rest in peace, another rapper that just passed away named King Shooter, you know, Ace Ruga.
This is all from the same, from Queensbridge?
Talk Queensbridge.
KD Roller, you know, there's a bunch of them, man.
Kaplan, who's your top 10 favorite from Allentown, Pennsylvania, Kaplan?
Do we have any rappers from Allentown? That's why I'm raising my son here in Long Island City. I'm caking it, you know, he's got the... It's gonna rub off somehow.
You're like a 10-minute walk from Queensbridge, man. You can walk in here and stuff. Yeah. I'll tell him, hey, make sure this guy's good. He's safe.
There you go.
He
gets safe. Kaplan, get the.
He goes to there's a climbing place across the street from Queensbridge now. We're down there all the time, so maybe one of these days. It's great to just talk about like going places in New York, by the way, because we don't like just talking about basketball. I mean, it's. I hope it's back this summer at some point late, but I don't know. Probably not.
Well, the New York City, they took all the permits away, so that's why you won't see like no type of sport playing outside in any park this summer in New York. Yeah. They took it away till what, I think August 31st or September
1st. Oh, really? Oh, you know more than me about what's going on. Yeah, I didn't realize.
So basically, there's no Rucker Park, no West Fourth, no Dykeman, no anything. Anything outside, there's nothing going on outside.
Right. Have you been like is West Fourth? Have you played there?
Oh, West Fourth is fun. It's brutal because the court's so small.
I always watch it all the time. I'm sure you do because you do comedy
there. Yeah, I walk by there every day. I do stand-up in that neighborhood every night. I mean, not right now, obviously, before. But I would walk by. I was always wondering what level those guys are at. I mean, like when you're walking by and watching for 5 minutes, they look good, but it's hard to know. You know, is that one of the better courts?
I would say it's the most consistent runs. If you want to go play basketball somewhere, there's always a run there. You will never miss out on playing basketball there. As far as the talent, it just depends who shows up, man. You know, I say there's a lot of people that play hard rather than, you know, being really talented.
Right. Playing for the fans. There's a lot of people watching. So
what's if you want to play, like say you just decide that tonight I want to go play at West Fourth. Do you call ahead or do you just walk up? What happened? Yeah,
I walk up and then they see me and they're like, yo, Dan, you got next. Whether it was like 20 people ahead of me.
But is there a guy in charge?
So they know who you are.
Yeah, they know. Yeah, of course. Like every park I go to in New York, I try to make my presence known. I go there, I play hard, and you know what I mean? I get angry, and but I play hard. So people, you know, they always welcome me back.
And that's, what was it?
That's like, by the way, that's how I play Turner. I hustle so much. And I don't shoot. So if a good player recognizes me, they're always like, go grab that key. He's not going to shoot at all. He's going to hustle. So we need one guy.
Get back on D.
Yeah, exactly. Little white guy is going to play super hard. So.
What? So how was that? Was there, like, do you remember when you got to the point where you could go to any court in New York City and get on? Or is that court by court? I'm almost comparing it right now to stand-up comedy, where, like, I'm half the clubs in New York City I can show up and go, you know, I can get booked and go do it, but there's still a couple that I'm not in yet, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it just depends on the mood of people. You know what I mean? Some people, they know who I am, but they'll still be, you know, they'll still kind of like hate or whatever and stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. So it just depends on the mood of the people, whether I'm just going to go in and play on a certain court or whatever and stuff, you know?
But I mean, is it like you, when you were 18 years old, like you're working your way up? Is it like you get into better and better courts the better you get at basketball? Or is it just day by day? If you show up in the interview?
I say when I go on those courts, I go to work on a specific skill. I won't work on I won't do my regular game. So I go there and be like, today I'm gonna shoot more threes than usual, or I'm gonna work on my passing. You know, whether you know, if they double teaming me, how I'm gonna pass it, or whether, you know, just being like a release valve. Like if somebody's open, but I gotta be the hockey assist man. You know, working on that and stuff. Sometimes I'm gonna work on step backs. I'm gonna work on my left hand layups and stuff. Work reverses. And I just practice. That's how I practice real time.
That's very similar to stand up. You're like, I'm gonna work on this one bit tonight. Just this one joke. I got to get this thing right. And then when you go, wait, didn't Ron do stand up for a little while, or am I off on that?
Yeah, he did stand up.
I forgot about. I'm just remembering as I'm saying this. He did stand up comedy. I think he was like.
You ever did the Laugh Factory?
In Hollywood. Yeah.
Yeah, he did that.
Yeah, he did it. I guess he did okay. I didn't really see it. If I was a comedian, I would just talk about my family all day. That'd be all my jokes.
Like what? Give us one.
I gotta write it.
It was Ron. What about the Best Buy story? Is that true?
Yes, Circuit City.
Wow.
When Ron was in the NBA, he really did apply for a job, or he got a job at Circuit City to get discounts?
Yes.
Because people are always asking him for things, and he said,
what's your...
He wanted the store discount.
Yeah.
So that's why he did it.
And Circuit City went out of business eventually, so who knows?
Exactly, right?
And he was making a couple million, I guess, at least, right?
He was
on a rookie contract.
Well, he was a 100,000 there.
There you go.
Yeah.
What's your family like? How many siblings you guys have?
It's 10 of us.
Oh, just 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
And are you the only two who play basketball?
Yeah. No. I had another brother that played basketball, but he didn't go too far with it and stuff.
Okay.
I mean, he plays today, but he loves it. My dad loves it and stuff, you know. But me and Ron is the only ones that pretty much, you know, did something with it, I guess.
Well, got paid to play basketball?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got paid to play basketball. I got paid to play basketball, so that's cool. And I always say when people be like, well, have you made it to the NBA? I'm like, yeah, well, I had to pay taxes on them summer league checks, so I think – Yes.
Yeah. I mean, the definition people for years are like, are you a prof-? I mean, I've been only a stand-up comedian for the past 5 years or four. Yeah. 5 years. But even the first couple years, people are like, are you professional? I'm like, people are paying me to do it. So that's the definition of a professional.
We need a summer league equivalent for comedy.
I need a Vegas to go.
You need a Vegas. Yeah.
Is that fun outside when you're in Vegas, when you're there for the summer league? Is it fun outside of the games, or is it just like all business?
Let me tell you, once I realized how the team was acting and I wasn't playing that many games and stuff, I had a lot of sex.
Nice.
I didn't care after a while. I was like, you know what? I'm enjoying myself. I'll be prepared. I'll make sure I'm ready to go play. But you know what? I'm just going to have fun. I'm not going to even get upset. I got upset once, and I got upset in front of everybody. I mean, everybody seen it. Team execs. And I was like, damn. But you know what I mean? I was playing really good in practice, so I thought I was going to play in the games and stuff. And the frustration from, like, you know, the coaches and stuff, they didn't want me there. You know what I'm saying? I get it. Maybe somebody forced it on them or whatever. I asked Ron, you know what I'm saying? Because I was like, yo, Ron, listen, you gotta answer this question for me. Yo, did you ask these guys to put me on this team? He said no, and I believe him. You know what I'm saying? So once he said no, I was like, all right, cool. Because I know that when we was training, I was training hard with him. You know what I mean? Like, you know?
Yeah.
I was working out with one of the coaches named Jason Hamm at the time. We was getting in there. We was shooting like 1,000 shots a day. Then I was doing my own workouts. Then in Sacramento at night, in the evenings, I played in the Sacramento Pro League, Capital Christian High School. I was doing really good there and stuff. I had some great, great games. And, you know, Coach Ham came and seen me play a lot. He liked the way I was improving and stuff. And, you know, I was in really good shape, even though, like, everybody was talking about my weight, you know what I'm saying? Because I was like 290. But that's my playing weight. I was over my playing weight by like 15 pounds. My playing weight, college, that was 260, 275 or whatever. Right. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I don't know if y'all ever seen videos of me playing or whatever. I put up a video of me playing basketball at Rucker Park. That was like right before, you know what I'm saying? Me, you know, spinning, dunking the ball and stuff like that. So when people talk about my weight, I'm like, why are y'all talking about my weight? That's my weight. That's how. That's my playing weight. I've always been like that. You know what I mean?
But you can handle the ball though too, right?
Yeah.
Even a bit.
I mean, I was and at 12 years old, I was 6'2", 240. You know
Jesus,
what I'm saying?
Jesus, 12?
Yeah, 12. So I was always a big guy.
Did you play football?
No. See, that's the thing. I didn't have a football sized body. Like, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't like this big ever. You know, I was a muscular guy. You know what I'm saying? So, but it was funny because in summer league, I was dunking in the layup lines with one hand, two hands, whatever, windmills, whatever, when I was playing in the layup line. I don't understand when people were talking about the weight. I didn't care because I was having a lot of sex. But, you know, the ladies, there, you know what I'm saying?
It's kind of amazing they have summer league in Vegas. You have all these young people who are supposed to be focused on this important moment of their career of like impressing everyone, and they put it in Vegas where it's like. But I guess they have Orlando too for summer league.
Well, they're even talking now. They're talking now about maybe bringing the NBA back for a month and doing some tournament. And again, they're like, we should do it in Vegas. It's like, no, you shouldn't. Montana is the only state in America. They've had zero cases since April 25th. Zero.
Wow.
Just do it at Montana State.
But do they have hotels? Yeah.
Whatever. You could do it at a college. All you need is a gym. Yeah. There's no fans. There's no.
Exactly.
I don't know if LeBron is staying in the Montana State dorm.
That's exactly why. Because people want to be in Vegas.
Yeah.
Even if there's no people in Vegas. Right now, there's no one in Vegas.
They still have awesome hotel rooms and stuff. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
What do you think they should do with the NBA coming back? Or should they? Or like, what's your opinion on all this?
As long as people safe, man. As long as people healthy to go. Yeah, I say bring it back. But if not, don't rush it. I get it. The players want to play so bad. You know, they're going to only worry about, you know, that part. You know what I'm saying? But if it's not safe to play, then they shouldn't play.
Yeah. And the other thing is the testing. Like, do you want to, if there's already not enough testing for people who are sick, do you want to just give it to all these NBA players to test them?
I think that they should go independently and get tested like that, I guess, you know, and as well, the NBA should also, whatever test they, how many players or how many people that need to be tested, they should double it and then give it to the public.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, so, go ahead, Cap.
No, I was going to say, speaking of weight, do you have any, do you know Elton Brand at all? Cause I'm a 76ers fan and I'm wondering if Joel Embiid is going to come back in like 400 pounds when they come out of this thing, or if he's staying in shape at all.
I said that on a previous podcast. Yeah. That Joel Embiid's going to come out of shape.
I'm already stressed out about it. I don't want to want him to get hurt. So,
yeah. One of my teammates worked for the Sixers named Curtis Sumter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He was he a Villanova guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of my AAU teammates.
Oh, nice. Good play. Wild.
So there's no, I was surprised. I thought you were going to tell us there's some like underground basketball happening on right, happening right now that no one knows about.
I heard about something like that today, actually. And somebody was on Instagram Live talking about it. And somebody, it was playing for $1,000 today in some gym. I don't know where it was at, but I heard something about that today.
In New York City?
Yep, in New York City.
I knew it. Yeah. I knew there was something.
There's people training gyms on basketball, on private gyms, though, in New York. There's gyms.
Oh, there's got to be. Yeah. I mean,
well, I've heard a lot of NBA players are doing that. They're kind of getting their own gym space and then training, which you would have.
Or some of them have, I mean, in their homes, some of them, I guess, have it. But yeah, it's better to bring back the Michael Jordan Space Jam gym or something and just train there.
Exactly.
So what do you think from what you hear, people, does it feel like in your old neighborhood and stuff, people are like, we're getting past the virus stuff, past the sickness or all that, or is it do you know what I mean? Like I know it's neighborhood by neighborhood, and a lot of there's just that New York Times article that a lot of neighborhoods, like the Upper East Side, the Upper West Side, those people just left. Everyone's gone from New York City.
Yeah, there were people like Turner here left. So
I took
people Upper East Side went to their vacation homes, I guess, in the Hamptons.
Yeah, I'm at my brother's place in DC. Yeah.
I mean, normally when I hear somebody get it, so far I didn't.
Cap, can you mute your side there?
Yeah, sorry.
No problem.
Normally when somebody gets it or whatever, it's like a death sentence. So far, a lot of people, you know, it hasn't been good. I haven't known. I know one person that went through it and, you know, came out on the other side good. Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. I know. Obviously, like to people, I've seen people who don't live in New York, and they're like, "Whoa, does anyone even know anyone who has this? This isn't a thing." But then in New York City, we all know multiple people. So, anyway, what about last question here? So then, when you're going at, like, if you go to play street ball in South Carolina, obviously you haven't been playing recently, but I feel like versus New York City, you're just going to be dominating wherever you go, right?
Like I said, I haven't played basketball. Well, if I haven't played basketball consistently since 2018. I haven't played a lick of basketball in South Carolina.
Oh, there you go. All right. Yeah,
I took some shots at the courts or whatever, but other than like just playing, I haven't played.
Playing low.
It's just like it's not in me to play right now anymore or something like that. You know, I'm just trying to get things together over here and stuff. But I do want to play again. I'm actually going to start training tonight. I'm starting a little regimen. I got all these resistance bands now, so now I'm about to put them to good
tonight.
Use. Yeah, tonight when everybody go to sleep, going right in this living room, throwing out Peanut X, and make it happen.
There we go. We want
to
say
I'm going to get down to South Carolina and train with you because I need to. I play in a basketball league in Brooklyn. The whole season got canceled, but we'll be back next year. So gonna come back better. Working something. Question.
Did you play? What you play at that new gym they built in Brooklyn?
No, what new gym?
It looked like it's dark on the inside, like it's like brick on the inside. It got a bunch of courts on it, or whatever. It's like some new gym that everybody goes to. I actually want to throw a basketball event when all this stuff blows over.
Oh no, I play like on an outdoor court. It's like a hipster bookstore league. It's not a high level.
I'm playing. No.
We bring you in for the playoffs next year. We always like to bring in a ringer for the tournament.
Yeah, I'm playing.
With your size, you'll definitely people will get pissed at us. It'll be great. But
I need a business connection. Make sure you have a good business person. You know what I'm saying? My podcast is doing really good, so I need some more sponsors.
All right, we can do that.
There we go. All right, that'll be the trade.
Quid pro quo.
Yeah, you go play.
Here's Serge from Queens.
Dan Artest is going to play in your bookstore basketball league. That'll be great.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, to come out to I was supposed to. I had a show scheduled for Charleston in August, but I think that's off now. But some theater down there, I'm going to reschedule it. I'll let you know. We do.
And I used to live in Chantilly, so I got some Virginia roots too a little bit.
Oh, there you go. Cool.
Yeah, I used to live in Chantilly. That's why I played professional basketball in Chantilly, Virginia too as well. I forgot about that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, what's the name of your podcast so our listeners can find it?
Oh, it's called the Daniel Artest Podcast. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Daniel Artest Pod. I'm on Facebook too as well. I got a Facebook group, so just search the Daniel Artest Podcast. That's the name of the Facebook group. We had almost 2,500 members in there. And nice. Also you can go, you know, DanielArtest.com and just sign up and stay tuned to what I got coming in store.
Thank you so much, man. Excellent. Thanks for doing it. Great to meet you.
Yeah, no problem, man.
Great to Zoom you.
And meet you on Zoom. And that's it. Kaplan, we should get to the news.
Play the music.
Play the music.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Back. Thank you to Daniel Artest, Kaplan. That was great, huh?
Yeah, it's fun to talk a little sports on this podcast. And I hope we forgot to mention the No Malice of the Palace. But other than that,
my one big regret, right? When we hung up, I realized we forgot to ask him about that. I did read.
I just want to know if he was there or any insight.
Well, I don't think he was, because I read an article about it and it was a quote from him saying that the Malice of the Palace, for anyone who doesn't know, is when Ron Artest was playing for the Indiana Pacers. They were playing in Detroit, Michigan. He ran into the stands and beat up fans because fans were throwing, they threw like a cup of water at him or a cup of beer or whatever it was. And it landed onto him.
And it was a whole crazy fight. It was the biggest, worst fight I've
seen. Steven Jackson, Stack Jack was there. Yeah. Everybody.
And that was a great Pacers team that could have won a title, but whatever.
They could have won a title for sure. Yeah. Anyway, but I know that Dan had said that. I'm pretty sure he was not there because he said that Ron called him right after and was like, "Oh, hey, I just got into a fight." But then was like, "Yeah, I think it'll be cool." Like, he was presenting it like he would be suspended maybe for a few games, but that would be it. Like, yeah, it was kind of rough, but like, you know, it was
he got suspended for the season, I believe, for those who didn't.
For like 75 games.
Yeah, the rest of the season.
Which is the biggest suspension, I think, in history. Yeah. But anyway, thanks to Dan for doing it. And
that was great.
I'm fired up for him to come play on your hipster bookstore basketball.
That was the
team.
Most disappointing thing that, you know, it came on Instagram quietly last week where they just announced the season's canceled. And they showed a picture of all the courts without rims. And I thought it was a little premature. Like, maybe we could have, you know, worked out some sort of deal, but apparently they wanted to be safe. They wanted to protect us.
They knew what was coming.
They know there's some older players in my team specifically, so they knew we're in the demographic that's not safe to play.
Well,
so.
And they knew you were going to bring Daniel Artest out of retirement to come play.
Oh, they knew. Yeah, we were known. Our first year ever, we brought a couple ringers in for the playoffs. Like, you got to bring him in earlier. You got to get him and play a regular season game for you.
Yeah, but what about, was either one of them a 290-pound basketball player? That'd be amazing.
One of them was a former college player, but yeah.
All right. Well, news story of the week comes to us from The Hill, Kaplan, thehill.com.
All right.
Viral photo shows French preschoolers confined to chalk squares for social distance playtime. What?
Yeah.
You saw this picture. Tell me
I
about
saw
it.
This picture was so bizarre because it was like a bunch of kids outside in like a play, you know, like one of these like cement playground areas. And they all had like a chalk, like it was more than like a different, I don't know what shape it was, but it was drawn around them. It was like, this is the area you could stay in. As if like you're in the yard, you get some fresh air.
I mean,
you can't leave the square.
I just find this impressive that they can get preschoolers to stand in place.
Yeah, I don't understand how, but I mean, it's almost like their kids are so bored that they can just stay there. I don't know. It's like a French thing. It's like there was that book, Bringing a Baby. You know what that means?
No.
Teddy Kaplan is. There was a book called Bringing a Baby years ago that Bebe that I know Randy read, and a lot of people were reading in America. It was about how French kids, you can take them to fancy restaurants and they're just better. They for whatever reason, nobody knows why. I don't know what the reasons were. They treat them like adults.
They're more well behaved.
They're more well behaved. They eat better. They do all these. I think they drink wine. I don't know. They do everything better.
Yeah, they're adults.
But so apparently they can also stay in a spot as if they're. I don't think most humans, without a smartphone, most humans can stay in a spot by themselves for like 45 minutes. Or
not most. I mean, 90% of Americans seem to have.
Humans. I mean, adults, but yeah.
Americans seem to have ADD or at least a prescription for Adderall. I would say 90%. Yeah. But no, this you're so true. That's so right on the French kids. You know, French people can also, in general, eat chocolate every day and never get fat. Have you noticed that?
Yes. And bread and baguette. So you eat a whole baguette. And drink wine.
They just drink wine, eat chocolate, and eat baguette.
Unless it's like a charming like French guy thing where it's actually women find attractive because he's like a older guy who's a little heavy. But
I have no idea. These kids, Tyler Sparks got these kids over here a hot tub, a blow-up hot tub, and you can't even get them to stay in the hot tub. They jump in the hot tub, they immediately start wrestling and then fly out like it's
that's American.
Like it's WWE.
That's why we're spreading the virus. We can't distance. Yeah. But my last thing I was thinking about now is that, you know, my school famously charges us. They only get one day of recess. We've talked about this a week in my school, except we raised $50,000 for my PTA to get the kids more recess. We pay for an outside service. And I wonder if school comes back, if we could find a company that will – make the kids stay in a spot and they're just boxed in with chalk, if that'll be cheaper. Because that's less work. So they don't have to really entertain them. So maybe they could get that for $25,000 for the year. I don't know.
Yeah, you can get out-of-work comedians just to sit there and watch kids standing in a box.
Yeah, PTA board, if you're listening, and I know you are, go look into that for next year.
Look into that. Next story comes to us, again, from thehill.com, Kaplan. They're a great news source.
Oh, yeah.
German restaurant gives patrons hats. So tell us, the German restaurant has these patrons wearing hats with pool noodles, which are those big, long, skinny kind of foam.
There's things. Like a great picture that doesn't translate, but it's if you've ever seen those pool noodles, there's like that. They basically, there's like a hat and they're coming out of all different directions, these pool noodles. And it's basically, they're like about 6 feet, I guess.
And the point of this is to make sure these people are social distancing while they're eating at the restaurant.
Yes.
I love this. I love this. I think in America, we'd adapt it a little bit and everyone would get a sombrero.
Yes.
Like a comically big sombrero. You know, those gigantic ones?
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be fun. People would like to put on a. I could easily see a restaurant full of people with hilarious sombreros on, and it wouldn't even be annoying. Like a pool, this pool noodle. I think Americans would what do you call it? They would revolt. They wouldn't do it.
Right. Well, also the problem with Americans is we like to bring our dogs everywhere, and dogs. I don't know if you ever dogs eat those pool noodles all the time. So they would just, it wouldn't work at a restaurant.
Yeah, but a dog in a sombrero, everybody loves that.
Everyone loves that. We like people in. Like any sort of costumes. Like I think I mentioned earlier, it was a fad to wear like a costume while walking your dog outside.
That's why Halloween is America's holiday. America's favorite holiday is Halloween.
Yeah. It's like Ruby. We were watching Star Wars the other day and Ruby says, maybe Darth Vader's dressed that way because of coronavirus. And I was like, you're right. Because he's got the mask on. He's got the lightsaber that keeps you more than 6 feet away at all times. He was ready. And that's what we need. We just need to have more fun with it.
This is a great bit, Cap. This is your first open mic bit whenever we come back and you start doing stand-up.
Yes, I'm doing Star Wars with the original distance.
Darth Vader was ready for Corona. Last story of the week from the New York Post. Protesters do push-ups to call for Florida gyms to reopen.
Yeah, they were basically standing outside. A bunch of protesters were outside of a gym in Florida, and they were just doing push-ups and squats. And demanding that the governor open up the gyms, I guess, before they were ready to be open. And I thought it was like, I don't know about you, but I thought this was like a little bit self-defeating because you're basically showing the governor that you can work out. Like what I've learned is you can work out without a gym. You don't need a gym. Yeah.
Well, I got a couple thoughts here. Number one, that Florida governor has been playing fast and loose with coronavirus in the very beginning. So if you think he is too conservative, you're like way off the reservation.
Yeah.
Well, he's been the most out there. I mean, it's the Georgia guy and then the Florida guy's right there in number two in terms of pushing the limits.
Yeah, well, he's big on, like, the big thing that he does, which I think has been proven to be sort of right, is he's been really cracking out on New Yorkers. So, like, you can't – I saw there – you can't Airbnb anything in Florida right now if you have a New York – like, if you're a New Yorker, basically. Like, it's, like, illegal. Or it's, like, I think even to get a hotel room in New York, in Florida.
But so, he reopened the gyms in, like, late March.
He did.
Beaches.
The beaches, yes. But I think he has – I bet he's reopened the gyms. This article's from last week. I bet he cracked. We should look that up. But
well, the last thing, my last thought on this story is that I thought the whole point of a protest was to cause some level of disruption towards the people you're protesting against. And then that might make it so they're forcing their hand
right.
to do something.
Right. If you're just doing like something where you show you're in good shape, I don't see how that's causing trouble.
Not only that, but these
having
people,
an outdoor workout.
I've seen the video. It's all like beautiful, in shape people. It actually makes your day more pleasant if you're walking to work and you get to see all these attractive people working out on the street.
Right. That's what I've been talking about. Only attractive people working out outside right now. So that's
that's the whole hill you're dying on.
But they did. Yeah. This story was from a few days ago and they did open today, the gyms. But I don't. But this story is not. This is a universal story because in New Jersey, they repeated this thing. I think people were outside protesting. And then one of these gyms in New Jersey actually just defied the law and he just opened. Did you see that?
No,
like
I did not.
Like some gym in New Jersey just said, like, he gave in to the protesters. I don't know. He just opened up. And then I don't know what's going to
happen. I
don't
understand this giving in to protesters. They're not inconveniencing you in any way, these protesters.
Well, no, it's not really giving in. It's like, I'm going to make money off the protesters. I'll look
at
my gym.
Okay, he's a hero now. He's a hero.
Until the governor, like, I don't know what the fine is. They haven't, you know.
Well, I mean, New Jersey's the one state has now passed New York, the state of New York, in terms of daily new cases.
Oh, so. No. So we did lose our title.
We did today to Illinois. I think Illinois and New Jersey.
But I think every state, and this is the character of the nation, is like, we should have one thing we're allowed, because this isn't going to work. We all are breaking the distancing in some ways. Each state gets one thing you can do it for that's what's most important to you.
What?
So it makes sense that New Jersey, it's like gym, tan, and laundry. Like, it makes sense that New Jersey would be like, you got to let them use the gym.
But the whole
in
thing
New York,
is if
we
you,
need
if,
like to get pizzas. I don't know,
yeah,
bars.
But if you're allowed to break one, then there's no point in doing any of it. That's
it's still better than nothing. I don't know.
It's still better than nothing.
Here.
All right.
I mean, I'm not Darth Vader. I'm not covered up. I can't.
That's the podcast, Kaplan. We're going to end it there. Thank you to Daniel Artest for doing it. Kaplan,
yeah.
We'll be back tomorrow. Patreon. Everybody get on there. Go to our website. Oh, by the way, our website's new and improved right now. LostInAmericaPod.com. We have a video. We have a YouTube page now. The video of this thing you're listening to now will be up, the Dan Artest interview. And also, my Zoom show, Friday nights, it's sold out. It's free reservations, but the reservations got filled up again. We had 110 reservations, I think, last week. It's going to fill up again this week, so get yours now for the Friday night show. It's going to be a blast. We have Maddie Smith is going to be on the show.
Oh, pod favorite.
Pod favorite. We have J.R. DeGuzman, and we have Pat Bircher, a Canadian comic who's very funny. So that'll be great. That's all, Cap. What should we do?
Let's get lost.
Get lost.